Chapter 6, The Choice. In less than the minute she had asked for, Mrs. Callender was calm enough to go on. "I now possess what is called a life interest in my husband's fortune," she said. "The money is to be divided, upon my death, among those in need. That is, barring a certain event." "Which is provided for in the will?" Ernest added, helping her to go on. "Yes. I am to be in absolute control of the whole of the £400,000 on one condition." Her voice dropped. Her eyes looked away from him as she spoke the next words. "That condition is that I marry again." He looked at her in amazement. "Surely I have misunderstood you," he said. "You mean on the one condition that you do not marry again?" "No, Mr. Lismore. I mean exactly what I have said." "You now know that the recovery of your credit and your peace of mind rests entirely with yourself." After a moment of reflection, he took her hand and raised it respectfully to his lips. "You are a generous woman," he said. She made no reply. With her head hanging and her eyes looking down, she waited for his decision. He accepted his responsibility. "I must not. I dare not think of the hardship of my own position," he said. "I owe it to you to speak without reference to the future that may be in store for me. No man can be worthy of the sacrifice you are ready to make. I respect you. I admire you. I thank you with my whole heart. Leave me to my fate, Mrs. Callender. Let me go." He rose. She stopped him by a movement of her hand. "A young woman," she answered, "would be afraid to say what I, as an old woman, mean to say now. I refuse to leave you to your fate. I ask you to prove that you respect and admire me and thank me with your whole heart. Take a day to think. Let me hear the result once you have taken this time. Can you promise me this?" He promised. "Now go," she said. Next morning, Ernest received a letter from Mrs. Callender. She wrote to him as follows. "There are some additional considerations. I ought to have mentioned them yesterday evening before you left my house. If you reconsider your decision, you are not required to commit yourself to me completely. At my age, I can assure you that I will regard our marriage as simply a formality. In other words, our marriage would be one of convenience, a mere business arrangement. That is, if I am allowed to carry out my plan of standing between you and bankruptcy. If your missing ship appears in time, the only reason for our marriage would no longer exist. In that case, we will part as good friends without the burden of a formal tie to bind us. In the other event, I should ask you to accept to certain restrictions which, remembering my position, you will understand and excuse. We are to live together. Needless to say, it would be as mother and son. The marriage ceremony is to be strictly private. You are to arrange our affairs so that immediately we would leave England for any foreign place you prefer. Some of my friends, and perhaps some of your friends, will certainly misinterpret the motives for our marriage. If we left the country, it would make the situation more manageable and bearable. As to our future lives, I have the most perfect confidence in you. I should leave you in the same position of independence which you now occupy. If you wished for my company, you would always be welcome. At other times, you would be your own master. I would live on my side of the house, you would live on yours. I also ask that I would be allowed time by myself every day in the pursuit of musical interests. These I have happily done for years. I would ask your understanding and kindness in continuing to do so. A last word to remind you of what you may be too kind to think of yourself. At my age, you cannot, in the course of nature, be troubled by the company of a grateful old woman for many years to come. You are young enough to look forward to another marriage that would be something more than a business arrangement. Even if you meet with a happy woman in my lifetime, honestly tell me of it. I promise to tell her that she only has to wait. For the moment, don't think, because I write calmly, that I write without feelings. When I first saw you at the public meeting, you delighted and interested me. I don't think I could have proposed what you call this sacrifice of myself to a man who had personally sickened me. However, I have felt my debt of gratitude as honestly as ever. Whether your ship is safe or whether your ship is lost, old Mary Callender likes you and accepts it with false shame. Let me have your answer this evening, either personally or by letter, whichever you like best. Before the evening had begun, Mrs. Callender received a written answer. It said in very few words, "A man not affected by kindness might be able to resist your letter. I am not that man. Your great heart has defeated me. I agree to your proposal." The few formalities which preceded marriage by special license were taken care of by Ernest. While the fate of their future lives was still in doubt, an unacknowledged feeling of embarrassment on either side kept Ernest and Mrs. Callender apart. Every day, a report of the state of affairs was brought to the lady. Written always in the same words, it said, "No news of the ship.